All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 for the message tonight. Romans chapter 1. I want to just right off the bat warn you, I got about 2 hours worth of stuff. I really do. I'm going to condense it as best I can and weed through it. But if I gave you everything that I have written down up here on my notes, we would be here till 10 o'clock tonight. I can guarantee you that. But I'm not going to do that to you. All right, so don't worry. Look, please, at Romans chapter 1, and I want to read some familiar verses. And I want you to listen very carefully. There is a declension that you can see here. There is a decline. We will start on a premise, and then it just goes downhill. I want you to see that. I want you to spot that as I read these verses. All right, beginning in the 17th verse, Paul says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against," what's the next word? Oh boy, that little all-inclusive word, all. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, that is a proper English way, a very proper English way. Today, we would throw a little word withhold, and we would say who hold back, all right, so that you understand it. Look at the verse. He said, where is it? There it is in verse 18. Who hold the truth, who hold the truth. Are you looking at me? Look here. Who hold the truth. No truth, you can't, no, stop right here. Who hold the truth. You with me? All right, that's what unrighteous men do. Look at verse 19. Because you say, well, why do they do that? Well, verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in the truth. For God showeth it unto them. They know the truth. Men know that they're deep down inside. I've said to you for years, I do not believe that there's any such thing as a true atheist. I still believe that. If you are an atheist, it's because somebody has messed with your head. That man, God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And if you claim to be an atheist, I think it's because somebody has monkeyed with your noggin. That's what's wrong with you. And the reason I say that is you let an atheist stick a fork in a light socket and see who the first person he cries out to is. All right? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now, how did he do that? How did God show men that he's there, that he's real, that he's God? Well, here's how he did it in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, these unrighteous men, are without excuse. Why? Well, because that when they knew God, now listen, when they knew God, way, way back there, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Hang on to that. I'm going to show you that in a little bit. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which was meat. Selah. Think about it. And even as they did not like to, what's the next word?
Retain
God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what that word reprobate means? It means void of judgment. You want to know why Congress is doing what it's doing? You're dealing with reprobate minds. You want to know why O'Malley and that bunch down in Annapolis are doing what they're doing with this marriage thing? You're dealing with reprobate minds. And Paul is telling you how we got here. Where did it all start? It all started back years and years ago when we decided that we did not need God any longer. When we threw God out of our schools. When we threw God out of our churches. When we threw God out of the Bible. When we started messing with the Word of God to make it say what we wanted to say instead of what God said. And God said, all right, you want to do things your way? Have at it. And he is just... given us up. We have been given up on by God. That's sobering, isn't it? But don't look at me. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. I'm just read it to you. I ain't even told you what it says. I'm just reading it to you. So it's not going to do you any good to get mad at me. I'm not the author here. Verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now here, see if this doesn't describe our country. See if this doesn't describe the world that we live in. See if this doesn't describe Hollywood and Washington, D.C. and New York City. Just see if this is not us being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow. Those are some pretty strong words, are they not? All right, I want to speak to you tonight on Baal is alive and well. Baal is alive and well. Let's pray. Father, bless, help us tonight. I pray you'll help me as I speak. And Lord, empower me from on high to say what I need to say. I got a lot to say. And I need to get it in the allotted time that I have. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless and help me tonight. Give us understanding minds and hearts to receive the word of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now listen very carefully. When the children of Israel crossed into the land of Canaan, they found the Canaanites already there. They lived in the land. And they followed a religion whose title God was the name Baal. The name Baal means Lord or Master. And Baal was the god that they attributed everything to. If the crops came in good, Baal was blessing. If grasshoppers, locusts came and ate the crops, Baal was judging. If there was a drought, Baal was angry. If there was rain, Baal was good. Now, you say, well, did they not know God? Of course they knew God. They chose not to follow God. They chose to follow Baal. You with me? Now, it says right there, for when they knew God, when men knew God, they chose instead to follow something else other than the God of heaven. And it just so happens that the children of Israel, when they came into the land, they found that the Canaanites had abandoned God and had chosen this God that they created, and they called him Baal, Lord or Master. Anytime something good or something bad happened, it was viewed by the Canaanites as Baal either blessing or Baal bringing judgment. Now, as you know, from Gideon, through Saul, through David, through Solomon, and until the kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians in the north and by the Babylonians in the south, the children of Israel and the kings of Israel and the prophets of Israel battled Baal worship. You remember that big showdown that Elijah had on Mount Carmel, and the 400 prophets of Baal, and a couple of hundred prophets of Ashtaroth, and all of the people of Israel standing and watching the showdown. And this was all done under the authority of Jezebel, who was the daughter of Ethbaal. All right, so they're all in this. They have all swallowed it. Jezebel, the queen. Ahab, the king. Jezebel's father, who was a Zidonian, who lived up in what is now Beirut, Lebanon. And he was named after the god Baal. So this religion was all over the area. It had dominated and controlled the people. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what was Baal worship? Here's an interesting thing. Baal worship was the worship of the basest kind. It was a religion that was centered around the most promiscuous of behavior. It was based upon a complete rebellion against the God of the Bible. And it was a religion that stood in defiance to the law of God that was given to Moses in the Ten Commandments and in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible. Now, before we proceed, let me stop right here and remind you of a very important truth that we sometimes forget. According to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, we are engaged in a great spiritual conflict. Ultimately, there are two forces that are involved in this struggle for the soul and the heart of mankind. There is on one side Jehovah God, and then there is on the other side Satan, the devil. Now, this battle has been raging ever since the Garden of Eden. God, when he created us, he gave us a book which tells us his law and what he demands of his people. When the law was given to Moses, the very first commandment and the one that is considered the greatest of the commandments was that God was the one God of heaven and there was to be no other God before him. That was the greatest of the commandments. That was the one that the God of heaven put first. And he said that men were not to build idols and that men were not to bow down and worship idols. They were to serve him and him alone. And as soon as God created mankind, here comes the devil along to destroy what God had created. One of the devil's tools. Now listen very carefully. This is important. One of the devil's tools throughout the ages has been to get men to abandon God and reject God's rule over his life. And that's basically what Baal was. By the way, that's what humanism is. You see, what we're dealing with today in our society is not Baal worship. It is akin to Baal worship. But they don't call it Baal worship today. What it's called today is secular humanism. Now, I'm going to change it a little bit tonight because I want to take a jab at them. I want to call it secular fundamentalism. Because that's what it is. It is a religion that has absolutely just engulfed our country. Not only our country, but the world. All right? Now, that's what Romans 1 is all about. Romans 1 is telling us the end result of men rejecting God and his word. What you see in Romans 1 is the end result of what happens to a people who abandon the God of the Bible. When they have the truth and they ignore the truth and choose not to follow it, the end result is right here. That it ends up with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. In other words, turn your TV on and you'll see our society. This is where we are. How did we get here? How did we get here? I'll tell you how we got here. Years ago, we turned our back on the God of the Bible. Well, we don't have Baal worship today, but we got the same thing. It's not called Baal worship today. It's called secular humanism today. Secular fundamentalism. It's the world's religion today. It's America's religion today. And what the devil offers to those that abandon and reject God is a lie. And that is exactly what Baal was. Baal means Lord. And folks, when you scrape away all the exterior things, either the God of heaven is your Lord or the devil is your Lord. But make no mistake about it, you are either serving God or you're serving the devil. There is no middle ground in there. You say, well, I'm not serving the devil. If you're not serving God, you're following the devil's path for your life. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're not doing God's will by rejecting God and rejecting Christ. You are doing the devil's will by rejecting Christ. All right, now that's the introduction. It gets gooder if you can stand it. Number one, I want you to think of how this explains our country today. This explains our country today, folks. Our nation was founded upon the Bible. Our nation was founded on the biblical Judeo-Christian ethic, the law and the commandments. We were founded as a nation of laws, not a nation of men. The recognition of God, of the God of the Bible, it's all over our founding documents. We were founded on biblical principle. For years, our country prospered under this Judeo-Christian foundation. America soon became the greatest country this planet had ever seen. People from all over the world began to immigrate to America. They came from Europe and from Asia, and they came from Africa and the South American countries and the islands, countries that had abandoned God years before. And these immigrants came to America to get away from tyrants and brutal dictators. They came to get away from oppressive governments and to find freedom to serve the God of heaven. The Bible ethic was considered and it was followed in every area of our lives. Men were free to worship and churches sprang up every place people settled across this great land. We started then to build colleges and schools and universities. I don't know if you realize it or not, but all the Ivy League schools like Harvard and Yale and Brown and Penn and Dartmouth, all of these colleges were not founded just so they could produce astrophysicists and economists and lawyers. They were founded so that preachers and teachers of the Word of God could be well trained and equipped as they went out into America to represent God and preach the Word. Schools, colleges, and the strange thing is they were all built to train preachers and teachers to better equip our nation in the things of God. And oh, how God blessed this nation. It was America that gave the world the gasoline-powered car. It was America that gave the airplane and central air and heat and the light bulb and radio and television. I mean, the world became the beneficiary of God's blessings upon our nation. We were free. We were unbound by tyrants and kings and a ruling class. I never will forget in several places that I've been across this world. I remember in the in China, this young boy coming up to me spoke real clear English. And he said, "Tell me about America." And I said, "What do you want to know?" He said, "Have you been to all 50 states?" I said, "No, I haven't been to all of them, but I've flown over most of them." And he said, "Well, do you have to have a passport to go from one state to another?" I said, "Oh, no, you can just travel freely. You don't have to have a passport at all." "Oh, wow, that's amazing," he said. I remember the first time I went overseas. I went to Guyana, South America, and preached for 2 weeks. When we came back, I understood why the Pope got off an airplane and kissed the ground where he was. I was never so thankful to be home in all my life. There's no place like this country. Oh, how God has blessed us. We were free. We still are most people in the world. Unbound by kings and tyrants and a ruling class. Thank God for America. But then something happened in our country. You remember those European and Asian nations that I spoke about a minute ago that had abandoned God and the Bible? You know, it used to be that England sent missionaries to America. Now we're sending missionaries to England. Sad. Because nobody over there believes the Bible is the Bible anymore. These European and Asian nations who back in at the turn of the 20th century, back in the early 1900s, these nations, they're further down the page on Romans 1 than what we are. They're further down the page. And what comes out of getting further down the page is what happened that caused World War II. You had a bunch of mad men, a bunch of crazy people who were not crazy, loco crazy, crazy, demon-possessed crazy, of the devil crazy, mad with power and bias and racism and wickedness. And they rose up to try to bring the world under their control. And when that happened, America had to do something. And America had to stand up to the rest of the world. And she did it. And we freed Europe and North Africa and the Middle East and Russia from these evil, tyrannical dictators. Hitler was defeated and Europe was liberated and America was still free. And boy, how God blessed after that. I mean, our country grew and our standard of living was so far above the rest of the world and our country enjoyed a period of prosperity beyond comprehension. And then something happened. Here's what happened. The liberalism that had invaded our country back 50, 60, 80 years earlier had slowly been taking control of every aspect of American life. And folks, I submit to you that it is nothing more than a modern day form of Baal worship that the children of Israel found in Canaan when they crossed the Jordan River. To America's religion today is this secular fundamentalism. It is the equivalency of the Baal worship that the Canaanites practiced in the land back in Joshua's day when they came into the land. Secular fundamentalism. It's not called Baal worship today, but that's what it is. It's the same thing. You remember that that the Old Testament worship of Baal revolved around concrete symbols of dark forces. They had these little icons and these little images, and they went out in the woods. Hang on to that. You're going to need that in a minute. They went out into the woods and built these worship centers out in the woods, out in the forest. They went out in the trees, and they had these worship centers, and the whole thing just revolved around losing your inhibitions and just doing what feels good, just doing whatever is natural without any guilt, without any thinking about what does God say about this. No, we don't care what God says about this. We're just going to do what we want to do. That's Baal. That's Baal. And folks, I submit to you, that's secular fundamentalism. That's where we are today. And I want you to know, you go back and check your Bible and you will see that God told the Israelites to stay away from Baal. He told them to protect their children from Baal. He told Joshua, when you come into the land, slay those Canaanites. Why? Why was God so hard on these people who worshiped this false god? I'll tell you why. Because God knew how powerful and how seductive these dark forces that appeal to the sinful natures of men would be. Remember the Bible speaking of groves whenever it's referring to Baal? Groves. What were those? That's where the worship occurred. I find it strange that they went into, are you listening to me? They went into nature. They went into nature, into the good old unspoiled Mother Earth to indulge in their evil and wicked practices of Baal. And when they did, every law of God was abandoned and men did that their wicked hearts desired them to do. That was Baal worship, folks. The children of Israel had a God who gave them a law and said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Democrats of Baal, the prophets of Baal. It just slipped out. The prophets of Baal said, I fooey on that. Man, come to the dark side. Come on, do what you want to do. You don't have to worry about that God that the Jews are concerned about. Hey, don't you worry about that Jehovah God. I mean, listen, if it feels good, do it. It can't be all that bad, can it? And by the way, everybody's doing it. Come on. Come on, everybody's doing it. Folks, that's Baal. That is Satan getting man to go against God and against God's word and follow his will instead of God's will. And this has been the root struggle since the very beginning of time. This has been what it's all about. Now, let me illustrate. Let's suppose that you move to New York City, or you move to Atlanta, or you move to Chicago. And you got a job, and you're moving there because of your job. But you don't have, I mean, it's not unlimited money. But you're doing well. And you start looking through the paper, and you get a hold of a real estate agent, and you say, you know, if I'm going to live in the big city, I want to live on the top of a skyscraper. I want to live in the penthouse. I want it nice, man. I mean, I want it nice. And let's suppose that 80 stories up, there's a penthouse apartment that is for rent. And so you say, I want to live in that nice apartment. Well, you know it's not going to be cheap, right? Yeah, you know that. So you know that you're going to have to work hard, and you're going to have to grow in the company, and you're going to have to get raises, and you're going to have to make sure that you keep your job and really, you know, polish yourself and ply yourself so that you can keep your job. If you sign that contract, it's going to cost you a lot to get that apartment. Nod your head. You with me? Now, there's something else you got to consider. If you got an apartment that's 80 stories up, are you going to walk up 80 flights of stairs every day? No, you're not going to do that. So you're either going to have to expend a great deal of energy walking up steps, or you're going to have to get in the elevator. That will expend a great deal of energy to get you up there. But the thing I want you to see is it takes effort for you to get up there. Either you expend it or the elevator expends it. But effort it takes to get you there. Now, what you need to consider is this. When you come in on ground level, on the street level, in that same building, there's a basement. And it's not like that penthouse apartment. As a matter of fact, if you said, can I go see the basement, they'd probably discourage you from going down to see it. Now, you don't want to go down there. Why not? It's dark. It's full of creepy crawly things. It smells. There's this chute that comes all the way from your 80th floor, and it goes down. And people take their garbage out and they throw it in and all the way down, and it collects down in the basement. You don't want to go down there. You don't want to go down there. Now, wait a minute. 80 floors or just a few steps? It takes some effort to get up there. It takes some effort to keep your sanity, to keep your mind, to keep your heart. You put forth some effort to serve and be right. It doesn't take anything for you to get down into the cellar. As a matter of fact, there's a chute that goes down there. All you got to do is just go through that little opening. You're there. You don't even have to blink. It'll get you down there real fast. Folks, that is exactly what the devil offers the world today. That's exactly. That's what was offered in Baal. That's what is offered in secular fundamentalism. I believe that Baal is alive and well today. What you are seeing happen in our country is the fruit of years and years of a concerted effort by the devil, who has inspired a group of people to remove God and the Bible and the gospel and God's rules and restraints from our society. Now, I want you just to think back for a second. I want you to think back. You want to see why we're where we are today? This has happened in the majority of our lifetimes. Maybe not the majority, but at least half, probably. You remember what I'm about to tell you? I remember it like it was yesterday, because I was part of it. Do you remember back in the 60s? When this crazy, satanic-inspired woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare, self-proclaimed atheist, if she was an atheist, then why all the fuss about God? If there's no God, let it alone. It's what I preached this morning. If there's no God, why do you have to go all over the country trying to tell everybody there is no God? I never understood that. And I remember her being on the news every evening. She was suing the United States of America to get Bible and prayer out of the schools. And she won. All over the country, they said, no more Bible. We'll put this over here and lock it up. No more God. We'll take this over here and we'll lock it up. No more, nothing to do with God. We took God out of the schools. Abraham Lincoln said, the philosophy of a classroom today will be the government of tomorrow. You might want to write that down. The philosophy of the classroom today will be the government of tomorrow. And now we're about 2.5 generations into young people who have been raised in public education at the altars of Baal instead of at the altar of God. I remember going to first grade and Miss Hoon having a Bible on her desk, not in her desk, on her desk. I remember the first paddling I got from her. And she read to me out of the Bible. I don't remember what it was. That was a long time ago. But before she lit me up, she read to me from the Word of God. And in Christian love, just blistered me good. And then I remember Miss Kermines in the second grade having a Bible on her desk. And we read through the Psalms that second grade year. And then I remember going into the third grade and this big fuss about the Bible in the classroom. And the next thing I know, the Bible was gone. It was gone. That was about 1962, 1963. And we have now raised three generations, almost three generations, without any knowledge of God's standards. What do you get? Well, you get verse 29, verse 30, and verse 31. That's what you get. That's where we are. And then you'll remember, in 1962, they came out with this thing called a birth control pill. And that ushered in the age of Aquarius. Do you remember that? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Boy, everybody was dancing around. It was just, hoo, hoo, hoo. This is great. We can be promiscuous without repercussions. No consequences. All right. Also in the 60s, towards the middle of the 60s and towards the end, the hippies came along. Fostered by the British invasion and the rise of rock and roll music. And remember, in Baal, they went to the groves. Remember that? To worship? I find it strange in 1969, 3 million worshipers went to a grove in upstate New York and they called it Woodstock. What'd they do? They bowed at the altars of Baal. They just did whatever felt good. Are you listening to me? You know, today, the same doctrine of Baal has wrapped itself in secular fundamentalism. And don't forget that Baal was the decline towards the vile. It was the decline towards entertainment. It was the decline towards violence. Folks, all you have to do is turn on your television set and watch primetime television. You watch the cartoons on Saturday morning that your children are watching. Everything leans towards violence and sex. And doing your own thing. It is nothing more than the end result of removing God from our lives and sliding down the chute to the basement. That's all it is. Now, how many of you have something you can write on? I want you to get something to write on. I want you to write on something. Get one of those little cards that has a blank space on the back. I didn't have time to put this on. I tried that last week and it didn't work. Y'all couldn't see it. So I'm just going to have to tell it. Up at the top, I want you to write this. What defines a religion? What defines a religion? I'm going to show you where we are right now, where America is. I'm going to show you where we are, this simple little thing. All right, now, I want you to write three little statements. What defines a religion? That's what we're looking at. And it must answer, religion must answer three questions. Three questions. All right, now, look at me. Question number one right here, question number two right here, question number three right here. All right, so just these three questions. Then over here, all right, over here, I want you to put secular humanism or secular fundamentalism, and then underneath it, I want you to put biblical fundamentalism. I'm going to give you three questions, and I'm going to give you secular fundamentalism's answer. I'm going to give you biblical fundamentalism's answer. All right, you with me? All right. What defines a religion? It must answer these three things. Question number one, where did I come from? Write that down. Where did I come from? Question number two, where am I going? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Number three, what do I do in between? What do I do in between? All right, everybody got it? What's question number one? Where did I come from? What's question number two? Where am I going? What's question number three? What do I do in between? All right, here's what, let's answer the first one. Secular fundamentalism said, let's do it backwards. What's biblical fundamentalism say? Where did I come from? In the beginning, God. God created. That's what we believe. We just believe that we came from God. God made me. All right. Where did we come from? What does secular fundamentalism believe? The swamp? The ooze? Evolution? All right. Let's answer the second question. Where are we going? Well, going to heaven, biblical fundamentalism. Where are you going when you die? I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know that? Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. All right, where are you going, secular fundamentalism? Where do they see the world going? Where do you see yourself going? You see yourself going to heaven one of these days. But where do they see? They don't believe in heaven. My goodness, that's in the Bible. We all came from baboons. We went from baboons to Bach. That's amazing to me. We went from baboons to Beethoven. Amazing. You got a lot more faith than I do, Mr. Evolutionist. Where do they see us going? You ready? Write this down. Global warming. Climate change. Hey, nuclear winter. That's what they're saying. Oh, we need to stop these nuclear bombs. Boy, we're headed to nuclear winter. Got everybody freaked out. Hopelessness. In other words, back to the swamp. Disaster. That's their message. Disaster. We're all headed for doom. All right. Answer number three. What are we to do in between? Well, my Bible says that as a fundamental Christian, as a believer, that I'm to serve God and serve my fellow man. That's what I'm supposed to do. But what do they say? You ready? Recycle. I mean, you hear it 24/7. Are you numb to it? Have you heard it so much now it doesn't even register with you? What do they say? Save the planet. Save the planet. Stop climate change. Sacrifice. Hey, you better give up your gas-guzzling SUV and go buy you a matchbox that has a battery in it. Because we're all headed for the disaster. We're all going back to the swamp. And we've got to do everything we can while we're living to prevent the disaster. And what is that? Removing God from the picture. Folks, that's why they're doing what they're doing. Now, Uncle Obama, he believes this with every fiber of his being. Every fiber of his being. And so does Michelle Mabel. They believe it all. Just stave off the disaster. We just got to prevent the disaster. Man, how many times? Well, we're going to tax these people so that we can give this company over here tax money so that they can build green energy. Well, that's worked out real good, hadn't it? And I tell you, folks, I'll go buy a horse before I'll go buy one of them electric cars. Just for spite. I'm serious. I'm not buying one of those little things. I want a car that when you push it down, whew, that's what I want. I'd like to get a rocket ship and they won't let me have one. And it's all such hypocrisy. It's all such hypocrisy. Stand up and preach this gospel and then walk right out and get on an airplane that has 4 jet engines on it and fly around the country, raising more money so they can put more restrictions on us. Folks, what is this? It's Baal, alive and well. Please understand that this is not Christian America. This is heathen America. Obama is not running America. The devil is running America. Harry Reid is not running America. O'Malley is not running Maryland. The devil is running this country and this state. That's where the battle is. It's between God and the devil. It's that simple. And there's two ways you can go. You can go the Bible way, or you can go man's way. That's God or the devil. I'm going to choose to go God's way. I'm going to choose to go the way of God. I'm telling you, folks, you better keep your kids in church. You better watch what they are watching on that television set. You keep them away from MTV. You keep them away from all that garbage. You train them in the truth of God and His Word. Baal is not dead. You can see him everywhere. Everywhere. I got a text from a preacher friend of mine one day this week. And he said, turn on ABC. They're dropping F-bombs all over, bleeping out everything but the F. And bleeping out everything else. Like you don't know what they're saying? In prime time TV, when kids are sitting there watching TV, it is no wonder you go to the mall and have to put your fingers in your ears when these little 8 and 9 year olds walk by and cuss till a fly wouldn't light in the room. I mean, just vile coming out of their mouths. Where do they learn this? Well, they learned it because we took God out, and now we've got generation after generation coming on with no biblical moral sense. It's on our TVs. It's in the music. You got to listen to that music your kids are listening to. You really need to get that iPod and sit down and listen to some of that garbage. You would wash their mouth out with soap if they talked like that. Or I'd hope you would. Baal's alive and well. Folks, listen, we got to stand for the truth. We got to stand for God. I mean, if everybody else in America goes and follows Baal, we got to stand. And let God be God in our lives. Baal's alive and well in the good old United States. Let's pray.